I used to love hearing gospel passages like this one back when I used to sit in pews on a regular basis before I went to seminary, before I was ordained, before I started preaching. You'd hear this reading from Luke and think to yourself, now let's see how the preacher's going to get out of this one. And then you just kind of sit back and rubberneck, waiting, almost hoping to witness a homiletical train wreck. And I'll be honest, when I looked up the lectionary readings for Homecoming Sunday, I wasn't exactly overjoyed to hear Jesus say, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." I mean, couldn't he have said this during the middle of August? Hate is such a strong, unambiguous, bitter emotion. So it's a bit jarring to hear the word hate coming directly from our Lord's lips. When we sit in church, we're used to hearing Jesus say the exact opposite. God is love, right? Love one another as I have loved you. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus talked about love all the time. And to the best of my knowledge, Jesus never said, God is hate. Or hate one another as I have hated you. So what's going on here? Has Jesus finally just snapped? Well, not exactly. Jesus often uses hyperbole to make his points, to force his audience, which includes you and me, to sit up and take notice. And this is no exception. It's a powerful rhetorical device. I mean, we're still talking about this peculiar turn of phrase 2,000 years later. Imagine Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, speaking to a crowd well-versed in the Ten Commandments, tossing out this linguistic grenade. How are you supposed to honor your father and mother on the one hand and hate them on the other? These two teachings are diametrically opposed to one another. And Jesus was well aware of the inherent tension in his words. But Jesus isn't telling us to make some grand announcement at Thanksgiving dinner about how much we hate our family. That's not the point. Jesus is talking about discipleship, about following Jesus with such single-minded devotion that it trumps everything else in our lives. Even the things we hold most dear, our family, our friends, our work, our hobbies, our money, ourselves. In the end, it's about our life's priorities and keeping God, our creator and sustainer, at the very center of all that we are and all that we do. Which sounds nice and pretty straightforward. But the life of faith following Jesus is never that simple. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to forsake everything else and lock myself in my room to pray all day, only taking breaks to feed the poor and eat bread and water. Life doesn't work that way. We have families to care for and relationships to nurture. We have work to do and meals to prepare. We have schedules to keep and dogs to feed. We have lawns to mow and commutes to make. Life is full, at times even overwhelming. And the life of faith is complicated and messy rather than neat and tidy. And still, Jesus demands more. He wants our full attention and devotion, not just a passing glance. Jesus wants us to sit down and eat the full 7-course meal with him, not just hit the drive-thru. And sometimes fruitful relationship with God feels like just one more thing on our already packed to-do list. One more thing that we're not doing as well enough as we should. One more thing to feel guilty about. Well, that's not the point, surely. Freedom and joy and love and grace, that's what discipleship is ultimately all about. That's what relationship with Jesus Christ offers each and every one of us. But there is a cost involved in following Jesus with heart, mind, and soul. And the short parables Jesus shares this morning invite us to consider this cost. Just as a property owner considers the cost before building a tower, and just as a king considers the cost of waging war before going into battle, we're invited to consider the cost of following Jesus. What is the cost of discipleship? What are you willing to give up to live your life as a person of faith? It may be free time spent in prayer and worship. It may be serving those in need. It may be having an uncomfortable conversation with a family member about his racist comments. It may be marching for peace and justice. It may be taking practical steps to combat climate change. It may be inviting a friend to church. It may be making dinner for a sick neighbor. It may be reworking your family's vacation budget to give more to charity. It won't look the same for everyone, of course. But if there is no cost, personally or professionally, are we actually living out our Christian faith? Or is it slowly withering away? I realize these are hard questions for homecoming Sunday. So much for just easing into things. But Jesus is trying to communicate that there must be a cost to following a crucified Lord. As he speaks these words, Jesus himself is on the road to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross. So cost is part of the deal. Sometimes our faith comes into direct conflict with the lifestyles and values of our family and friends and community. The good news is that the fullness and complexity of our lives can be lived to the glory of God. All of our activities and interactions can be guided by the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. Faith is embedded in our lives, not something separate and apart from it. That's why Jesus came into the world, into our world, into the messiness and brokenness of the human condition, rather than remaining at a safe and remote distance. You know, my phone died this week. And while the timing is never good for these things, it was a really bad week for this. You know how the week after Labor Day goes, with everything cranking back up again. So I suddenly found myself walking our year-old puppy, Cooper, without a phone in my hand. And it was kind of nice. I usually tell myself I'm multitasking as I wander around the church parking lot, holding the leash in one hand and my phone in the other. Perhaps some of you have seen me doing this. I answer emails, maybe send out a tweet, add to my to-do list, text a funny picture of the dogs to the kids. But ultimately, I'm just not being mindful or present in any real way. I end up walking around with my head down, distracted and self-absorbed. Without my phone, I noticed the light dancing off the stone of the church. I felt that first dose of cooler weather against my face and found myself reflecting and praying and enjoying being in the presence of both God and of a dog who never met an acorn he didn't want to eat. Now, I got a new phone the next day. I was due for an upgrade anyway. But I've kept up my new practice of leaving it home when I walk Cooper. None of us are as important as we think we are, or tell ourselves we are. And sometimes we need to force ourselves to focus on our relationship with Jesus in more intentional ways. I know I do. So the question remains, what is the cost of discipleship? How are you putting God at the center of your life? How are eternal things infusing your daily activities? What might you shift or give up to keep Jesus front and center? These are the things I hope you'll reflect upon on this homecoming Sunday and in the days and months ahead. That you will consider the cost of following Jesus Christ and then embrace the ensuing joy.